Okay, open up your Bibles to 2 Peter, chapter 1. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, of Jesus our Lord." So Peter was saying that he wanted grace and peace to be multiplied unto you. Who all wants grace and peace to be multiplied on? Grace and peace are great things. Grace is something that the Old Testament people knew very little about, if anything. That's a New Testament thing. That's what happened when Jesus came here. See, the Bible tells us that the law was sent by Moses, but grace and truth came. That's Jesus. Jesus is grace and truth. The grace part of it is, in the Old Covenant, everybody had to keep the law perfectly. If they did not keep that law perfectly, they were guilty of sinning against the law, and the punishment was death. Now here's the grace part. There was grace in the Old Testament, and I'll identify it for you. When somebody broke the law, they could have an animal sacrifice, which caused shedding of blood, and they could get atonement. But they had to get that atonement renewed every year. Grace, on the other hand, when Jesus got on that cross and died for our sins, he completely fulfilled the law. 100%. He said, "It is finished." He said, "There's no more punishment for that sin. That sin has been fully punished on Jesus." Jesus took the full wrath of God's fiery judgment for us. We couldn't fulfill the law. We deserved the grace. We deserved the cross. Jesus, on the other hand, did fulfill the law. He didn't deserve the cross, but he traded places with us. That's perfect grace. The law says when you sin, there's punishment for you. The New Testament says when you sin, the blood of Jesus has covered you. He wrote a new covenant on our hearts, put his laws in our mind. He is the embodiment of grace. We want to know how to have grace and peace be multiplied unto us. It is through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Notice that. It's through the knowledge of God and Jesus. Not the law, not doctrine. You can memorize the Bible from beginning to end, but it's only a personal, starting off with a personal relationship with God. That's when you get born again. And then you improve that grace and peace through the knowledge of Him, through a personal fellowship with Him. So when you take this Bible and you open it up to the epistles, you open it up in the New Testament, and you start learning who Jesus is. Remember in Matthew, let's turn there, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Well, we'll start at verse 25. And this is really an invitation to come to Jesus. And Jesus is talking here. And you got to realize Jesus was talking to people that were under the old covenant, that were trying to keep the law, that were doing their best to do what the law said. And it wasn't working for them. Verse 25 says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now he was talking to people that were under the law. And if you really want to make yourself miserable, just try to keep the law. Try to earn your own righteousness by keeping the law. Try to earn your own righteousness by being good enough, by doing good enough, by performing good enough. And see how miserable you get. I promise you, some of the meanest people I've dealt with were churchgoers. Some of the people I've ran into in church are so miserable to the point I honestly don't know why they keep going. Because they're trying as hard as they can to be good enough. They're trying as hard as they can to get to church, to get to heaven. They're trying as hard as they can to do all these things. And if they just stop and understand that Jesus said to believe on me. How do we believe on Jesus? We look squarely at the cross and say, okay, Jesus died on the cross for my sins, I am forgiven. Jesus died on the cross for my prosperity. Did you know that? Jesus died on the cross for our prosperity. Paul said, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Jesus died on the cross. Well, actually, Jesus took stripes on his back so that we could be healed. See, it's all about him. If it ever points to you and your performance, you and your ability to do good, you and your ability to do right, you're going to become frustrated. We have to take these contrasts. A lot of the things that we get taught in church are just not true. You know, so there's a teaching, and I fell for it. There's a teaching that said, you've got to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That's in the Bible. Jesus said it. But did you know that it's the law? Here's how you can tell whenever it's the law. It says, you must do this. You must perform. You must. You must. You must. You must. You, you, you. I promise you, you'll fail. Every time. But if you get over on the New Testament part of that deal, the Bible says, believe the love that God has for you. So now that's different. If we're still talking about love, on one side of the cross, it's talking about you loving God. On the other side of the cross, it's talking about believing how much God loves you. See, when you're on this one side and you're trying to fulfill that law, maybe unwittingly, you've been told that you were saved by grace and that you need to live by faith. And then somebody throwed that scripture in there and said, if you love God, you'll do this and you'll do this and you'll do this. And then you go out there and you try to do these things, or maybe you fail, and then you feel like a rat because, after all, if you loved God, you would have went to the mission field. After all, if you loved God, you would have bought groceries for this poor person over here. I promise you, when you're under that mentality, the devil is always going to remind you of some way that you failed. Why? Because his favorite tool to beat up Christians with is the law. But I'm not under the law. I know you're trying to keep the law, though. Now here, just take the pressure off of yourself and get on the New Testament side, where John said to believe the love that God has for us. When you believe God loves you, peace is going to be multiplied. Peace is going to flood your soul. When you believe how much God loves you and try to get a revelation of that, love will protect you. Love will keep you well. It's an interesting thing. All the apostles, they had all these deaths, they had martyr deaths, except for one, John. And if you notice, when he talked about himself in the Bible, he said, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He wouldn't say, I did it, or me, or I, or nothing. He'd say, the disciple who Jesus loved. He had a revelation of how much God loved him. They tried to kill him. They tried to boil him in oil, and it didn't do anything. I guess it just improved his complexion or something. But anyway, they got mad, and they sent him to the Isle of Patmos, and he wrote another book. And I read an account of him when he came back. He finally came back from exile, and they would take him somewhere to preach, and there were people. He was so old that people would carry him, and they'd set him down where he needed to be, and then he'd go ahead and preach. That love of God protected him and kept him and preserved him to do something that none of the other apostles did. Live a long, long time. I don't know how old he was when he passed away, but he didn't pass away at the hands of man. And in that time, that era, that's saying something. Because he had to live through a time. There's an account in the Bible where the Jewish people said to let the blood, they're talking about Jesus, and said, let his blood be upon us. I read an account that after that was said, they ran out of wood in that area. They couldn't find enough wood to make enough crosses. And it wasn't just Christians being crucified. They were killing Jews too. But he said to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. So the more we learn of Jesus, the more we learn about who he is, The more we learn about what He's done for us, the more peace is going to be multiplied upon us, and the more of His grace we're going to receive. See, Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. The way to frustrate the grace of God is try to earn something that He's already given you. Try to be something that He's already made you. One of the things, that righteousness was one of those words that had me flaked out because I didn't want nothing to do with that. And I found out that righteousness really means right standing, and that I couldn't earn right standing with God. The only way that could happen was I call on the name of the Lord Jesus, and it was because of His shed blood that put me in right standing with God. That means that whatever was wrong between me and God before I got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus. And now we have a good relationship. I had to spend a lot of time tearing some of these really religious sounding words apart so I could get them into my heart where they made sense. Anointing was one of those words. And I wanted to be anointed. I was anointed. I didn't know I was. But I wanted to be anointed. And I tried everything I could do to become anointed. And then one day I got ringworm. And I went and paid this doctor $50 so he could tell me to go down to the local drugstore and buy a $5 tube of salve to put on my ringworm. Well, I was reading the directions on there, and it said to anoint the affected area, and I thought, man, that's a pretty holy word to be using for a ringworm. And then I had to find out later that anointing means that Christ. So then I found out that Christ was not His last name. That's what He was. Jesus, the Anointed One. So when He baptized me with His Holy Spirit, I became anointed. Just like everybody else that gets the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they become anointed. It means He's all over you. But it was taking time to learn of Him that made these things make sense. Finding out who He is and what He did and what He's doing for us right now. We can spend the rest of our life learning of Him and not know everything. Let's get back over here to, well, this, I want to finish. In verse 30, it says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you find yourself frustrated and burdened in your Christian life, you got to stop. That's not God. That's not Jesus. Now, He didn't say that everything was just going to be, you know, He was going to walk around in silk stockings and slippers and not ever have to get your hands dirty, nothing like that. But look, your salvation is easy for Him. Your healing is supposed to be easy for you. It was hard for Him. Our job is to receive it. Our righteousness is easy for us. We just receive it. Our prosperity, we receive it. Our safety, we receive it. Whatever it is we need from God, He's already done the hard work. Our job is to believe it and receive it. Now let's get back over here to 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3 says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. That verse right there, we need to spend some time looking at that verse. It says, he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What pertains unto life and godliness? Does a home pertain unto life? Does food? Does a wife? Does a pickup? Almost everything that you can think of, as long as it's not something that's squirrely, and you know when you're getting into that area, if it pertains unto life and godliness, God has freely given it to us. He prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. It's all laid out there. It's there for us. Our job is to go up there and receive it. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now look, here's how it's going to happen. Through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of him. You know, there's a lot of people that are running around thinking that it's God's will for them to be sick. And then they go running to the doctor. Say, look, if it's God's will for you to be sick, why are you going against his will by taking that medicine? Well, what is really going on there is some false teaching. God gets no glory from your sickness. But what has happened is somebody has not come to the knowledge of him taking your sicknesses and your diseases when he was on that cross. They haven't come to the knowledge that when he got those stripes on his back, it was for your healing. There's a lot of people that are running around thinking that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for us today, because they haven't come to the knowledge that that is part of salvation. That the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for us today. It's a free gift from the Father. But we get these things through the knowledge of him. So the more we learn of Jesus, this is the thing. It's not knowing about him, but it's knowing him. See, you can know about him. You can know about him and be squirrelier than a pet coon. You can know about him and not even be born again. See, you can know about him and be led in all kinds of different directions. But when you know him, more of his blessing, is more his grace, and more his peace is going to flow into you. The more you know him, the less you're going to be apt to get led astray. Here's the thing. And I liked it the way Smith Wigglesworth, he made it just as crystal clear as you could possibly make it. He said, I don't know God by my feelings. I don't know God by my experiences. I know God from the Word. Jesus is the Word. See, the Bible tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld, call Him Jesus. Jesus is the Word. The more of His Word that you get in you, the more you're going to know Him. Now, there's a difference between memorization and meditation. See, you can memorize a whole chapter of the Bible and not get much out of it. But if that's all you did, just memorize it, just so you can memorize it, that's not going to do much for you. But on the other hand, if you take that and you meditate it and you take each one of those scriptures and look at each one of them, tear it apart and memorize it that way and get it in your heart through meditation, guess what you're doing? You're fellowshipping with Jesus and you're getting more Him in you. Also, you're getting more knowledge of Him. Verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through love. So all these promises, this divine nature, all this stuff that we want to be a part of is going to come through the knowledge of Him. It's not going to come any other way. And the only way we're going to have knowledge of Him is through His Word. Now, you may have an experience. You know, sometimes people do have experiences. You know, some people have actually seen Jesus. You know, some people have seen angels. But you can get just as much knowledge of Him through His Word as any of them do, by their experiences. Actually, Peter, who actually walked with Jesus, he slept with Jesus, he ate with Jesus, he took boat rides with Jesus, he was taught by Jesus, physically touched Jesus, walked with Him for 3 years. Laid eyes on Him a lot and talked to Him, physically talked to Him. And he said, the Word is the more sure word of prophecy. He said, the Word is more sure than that. I really found it interesting. Kenneth Hagin had an encounter with Jesus, and he was more interested in what he was saying. He acknowledged that Jesus was lovely and pure, and He is. He's beautiful. But the thing is, he didn't let himself get caught up in that. He wanted to hear what He had to say. His words was what was important to him. His words, Kenneth knew by that time that it was His words that made the difference. Because it's through His words that we have knowledge of Him. And that's what changes everything. That's how our grace and peace is multiplied. It's through the knowledge of Him, through that personal fellowship with Him in His Word. Thank you, Father, for Your Word. We praise You in the name of Jesus. We thank You for everything that Your Word says to us is ours and it's true, and that we are more than able to be partakers of this covenant because You made us that way. And we know that it's by the power of the Holy Spirit operating in our hearts, and it's the Word of God, and it's the knowledge of You. We praise You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.